Welcome to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. In this series, Bishop Campbell hopes to present many subjects, including life in the Church, spiritual growth, our responsibility as Christians, and our individual vocation to holiness. From the Chair is intended to encourage our prayer life, to draw us deeper into a relationship with God, and to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. And now, Bishop Frederick Campbell.
My dear friends, there is a very natural desire, I think it's present in most human persons, to hear or to experience only the good or the happy. I hear this so often in complaints about newspapers that they only will print the difficult stories, the horrendous accounts, the accidents and whatnot, never the good news. But there is a desire to know what is good, what will create a joy among us. But we cannot allow this natural tendency to overcome the necessity of addressing what St. John Paul II called the mystery of evil. Because so often in trying to ignore evil, in trying to simply turn away from it, we may in a secret way be encouraging it. So I should like to talk a little about the mystery of evil and how we confront the reality as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. Our Lord began his ministry, as you know, by confronting the evil out into the desert. And it is there in that desert where things were vast and empty that the reality of that struggle between good and evil can be seen in all of its starkness. And there our Lord confronted not simply evil as a concept, but the evil one, the personification of evil. And it was only in overcoming that evil and turning back the temptations of the evil one that our Lord was ready to begin his ministry and his preaching and his calling people to an understanding of the love and forgiveness and the goodness of God, and allow them also to know how in fact they can confront this evil and overcome it. For whereas God is the God of the living, wishing the good for us and wishing that good to last forever, the evil one, even in spite of its superficially attractive temptations, wishes us deep harm and wishes us not to be touched by that good, but to be enshrouded in darkness. I think that the power of the evil one exists first in all in forgetting his reality, trying to make people realize that the evil doesn't really exist. It can be simply ignorance or needs a little training or a turning away. But there is no evil really, no evil one tempting us. And it is in the loss of our remembrance of the evil one that often the evil one asserts his first power. The good news is that evil can be overcome. The good news of Jesus Christ does not skirt around this issue, but in Jesus Christ it is faced realistically. But the good news is that having been faced, it can be overcome. And I remember one pastor saying, it is not so much that the Church preaches about the power of sin, but that the Church preaches about the overcoming and forgiveness of sin. and how to defeat that reality in our own lives, that reality of evil. Now, there has been a long discussion in the history of the church over what actually is evil. There were people, say at the time of St. Augustine, who believed that evil was a co-equal power with good. In fact, one religious group believed that there were actually two gods, the God who represented the good in life, the God who represented evil, and that all of human life was a continuing battle between the two. But many of our early theologians defined evil as the absence of good, whereas good is that positive, life-giving force, that good that created our world, that creates each one of us as fundamentally oriented toward the good of God. Evil is a choice against that good, a turning toward nothingness, in fact. And the heart of that turning away from good was at the heart of the evil one, rooted in pride. As John Milton expressed it in his great epic poem, Paradise Lost, that the evil one shouted out to God, "I will not serve you. I would rather rule in hell than serve in heaven." And in that pride, there is a belief that we are our own creatures, that we ourselves can create our good, that we no longer need God. One of the Psalms says that the fool in his heart says there is no God. And from that proceeds disobedience, ignorance, darkness, and eventually death and judgment. And there is a superficial appeal to this pride and sense that we are our own creators, because it seemed to give us such unlimited freedom, a freedom that is defined by saying there are no barriers. We can choose what we want. Of course, so often we forget about the consequences of those choices. But many theologians define this idea of freedom as a freedom for nothing. It is a freedom to choose the absence of good, to choose nothing rather than something. And it ultimately results in the simple death of our spirit. So how do we confront the evil one, and the evil within our own lives, and the evil that is around us? I think the first problem of confronting evil and overcoming it is a problem of the mind, of knowing. Because of original sin, there can be a darkness of mind, or a mind can be misled by false statements. And the first way to confront evil is to seek the truth of what evil is, the truth that evil does exist, and how, in fact, our Lord Jesus faced it and overcame it. It means also that in our minds striving to embrace that which is real, that which is true, we begin to realize that it is only in knowing the good that we can live the good. So often, the process of conversion of our persons, our confronting and turning away from evil, of crushing its power within our world, is to begin by knowing very firmly who we are, who God is. What is truth? How do we obtain it? How do we live by it? And to realize that, as the words of the old catechism used to say, in order to love God and to love the truth, you have to know God and know the truth. You cannot love what you do not know. So that the first act of our facing evil and overcoming it is to know moral reality, right and wrong, good and evil, how to recognize it. So often the evil one appears in such superficially appealing guises. I've often said that the pictures we have of the devil, the ones that we draw, are in a sense so ugly and off-putting that I don't know why anyone would fall for that. Ah, but the evil one is a master of disguise. And he can, with great ability, present the good as evil and evil as good. And of course, falling for those allurements can be the beginning of the falling of our entire personality. The second stage, after we've converted our mind, is to strengthen our will. That is, the place where once we know what is good and true, we learn how to do it. Sometimes, even though we know the good, there is a temptation to turn away from it, a weakness of will. And it affects all of us. It is known as temptation. And I refer you to the 7th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Romans, a very powerful chapter in which he talks about this extraordinary experience of the human person, where the person can know what is good but does not do it. Or what the person does is evil, but yet he does it. How do we know the good and not do it? How do we strive for it and still fall short? And in fact, St. Paul said, "O wretched man, who is to deliver me from this?" And then he responds, "Thank God for the presence of Jesus Christ, who has given us the strength, taught us the way." But I think that to overcome this, to not only know what is good, but to do it daily in our life, to turn back the wiles of the evil one, is first of all, in humility, is to admit our creatureliness, the fact that we are creatures, not creators of our lives, and the realization that as creatures, in faith, we depend on another's strength. And that strength is God, revealed through Jesus Christ. We begin in humility. We are dependent upon that grace of the God who created us. And to realize that in many ways we may be weak. We do not control all of the reality about us. And in order to do this, in order to live according to that which is good and to avoid that which is evil, requires a discipline. It is a discipline of prayer. It is a discipline of fasting. It is a discipline of a daily commitment, even against our inclinations, to do that which is good, even though it may seem hard, but in doing it to achieve a certain peace. But it takes a training. It takes a discipline. And that discipline begins with a fidelity in the small things. I often would say to people that if you are caught in an habitual difficulty, habitual sin, I bet you could not remember the first time that you committed the sin. But a repeat of it again and again has created just a habit in you that is constantly being born. And it's in the very small things, like, for example, the use of language, the use of our words, the realization that the words we speak can lift up a person or cast them down. It can cause great hurt or it can bring healing. So it is in the small things and then to work up to the larger ones that we find the discipline of faithfulness. And always remember that no one is above the law of God. And we have to understand that throughout Christian history, the church has built up a powerful, powerful system of moral good, of training and virtues. But no one is above that law, and certainly no one is above the lawgiver. And I think there is a third part to confronting what is evil and overcoming it, and that is a desire for the restoration of what is good. Our sin, our evil acts, can cause great harm. They break relationships. They destroy things that are good to us. And we have to commit ourselves that after struggling free of temptation, struggling free of evil acts, even habitual ones, we have to restore what may have been lost. So there is a call to restitution, a pledge to make good what has been lost, a pledge to heal what has been broken, and a desire in restoring the good to learn to appreciate it more deeply. I've often on many occasions described the church's life and the life of Christians as living between humility and hope, a humility that is based on the sense of the dependence of all things on God and on a realistic view of who we are, what we need, and what we can do, and hope, that hope that is awakened by the knowledge and firm belief that in Jesus Christ we have won the victory, and that victory will be fully revealed in the second coming of our Lord. And let us pray that by our growing sense of who we are, and through our prayer, and through our practice of the virtues, we become part of that victory when it is revealed to us.
You have been listening to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. Join us each Tuesday at 5 p.m. for From the Chair with Bishop Frederick F. Campbell.